Holding on Peites Amud Beis, about the middle of the Amud, Vayiachad Varma'ela, about two-thirds of the way down the narrow lines. The last thing we learned was that when a Navi comes and tells us that we should to do something, and the question is, how do we know whether we should listen to him, especially if what he's saying is on the face of it against Torah? So we said, where he's a Navi Muchzak, where we have a Chazaka, that he's a Navi, then we have to listen to him even if he doesn't give an Ois. And otherwise, implicitly, the idea was that if he's a new sorting out Navi, then he has to give an Ois, he has to give some kind of sign to show that he's a genuine Navi. The Rambam explains, based on various Gemaras over here and elsewhere, that what it is the Navi, in order to be an Ois, that the Navi says is that he predicts something and it comes true in every detail. If even one detail doesn't come true, then we know he's not a Navi Emes. Anyway, so in that connection, the Gemara had said, after all, otherwise, how did Yitzchak listen to Avraham at Hara Moriah and be willing to be brought as a korban, which on the face of it is against everything that the Torah says, and how would people listen to Eliyahu Bahara Carmel and bring a korban outside the Beis Mikdash? Tosfos actually discusses over here the question, is it that Eliyahu is actually telling them in Nevuah to do it, or is it that Eliyahu is doing it in his role as a great Talmid Chacham, whereas we know from other Gemaras that the Chachamim sometimes have the ability to override Divrei Torah temporarily. We learned this earlier in the Masechta. For example, we had a case where we had a couple of cases where the Sanhedrin punished somebody with a punishment that wasn't usually allowed al pi Torah, but they did it or warranted al pi Torah, but they did that because people were being careless with mitzvahs. So in that case, with Eliyahu over here, it could have also been in his role as the greatest Talmid Chacham of his generation. Anyway, so now, having mentioned the Akedah, so now the Gemara goes into a little bit of a gadda on the subject. The pasuk is Vayiachar Avraham Ela. It happened after these things. Vayalekim Nisayas Avraham. That Hashem tested Avraham. So Achar Mai. When we say Achar Avraham Ela, after what? Or Mai Achar. It says on the side. What does it mean Achar? Amar Rabbi Yechon, Mishum Rabbi Yosi Ben Zimra, Achar Dvarav Shal Satan. It means after the words of the Satan. Dichtiv. Now you have in the previous perek. Now to be sure, the previous perek happens many years earlier, but still sometimes the Satan takes the long view. Dichtiv Vayigdala Yela Vayigom Avagomer. The pasuk says that the child Yitzchak grew up and was weaned. There's actually different the general understanding as it means when he was weaned at 2 years old. And now he's reached a significant stage in his development, and therefore Avraham made a party to celebrate. There's different other possibilities, including the Medrash says it was actually Yitzchak's bar mitzvah, and Tosfos and Shabbos brings that it was Yitzchak's bris. Whatever the case, the point is that Avraham made a big party by Yas Avraham Mishta Gondol. So, Omar Sutton, the Fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the Sutton says to Hashem Rebbeinu Shlalom, Zokin Zechananta Lemeya Shana Pribetin. This old man, you finally gave him, you graciously gave him, at 100 years old, a baby. Mikol Soda Sha'osa, Lahoya Loy Tor Echa, the Gozel Echa, the Hakri Vafanecha. Out of that whole Soda that he made, he didn't have even one turtle dove or one dove to bring you as a korban, because we don't see in connection with that party. It doesn't say that Avraham built a mizbeach and brought a korban as you have at various other times in Avraham's lifetime. So the Satan is accusing Avraham that he made the whole party and he didn't offer anything to Hashem. Omer lo, so Hashem says, Klum osa ela b'shvil b'noi. What do you think? The whole party that he made was specifically for his son. Imani omer lo, zvachas bin chalafanai. Now, if I were to tell Avraham, bring your own son as a korban before me. Never mind one dove or one turtle dove. If I told him the actual son himself that you just made this whole party for, that you should bring him as a korban, miyad zoychoi, he would right away bring him as a korban. So no, the fact that Avraham didn't bring a korban by that party is because of other considerations, not because he's not grateful to me. So, sure enough, therefore, miyad, so right away, or not literally right away, because it was years later, but anyway, v'alekim nisayas Avraham, then Hashem tested Avraham and told him to bring Yitzchak as a korban, and in fact, he did that. So that's one explanation of Achar Advarim Ha'eva. After the Sutton's accusation, and after Hashem's whole discussion back and forth about it with him. So Ben Yoda points out that, yeah, I mean, it's many, many years later. How can we say it's right away? But he says that he thinks that for sure, he explains that Sutton is thinking that maybe Hashem will tell him this thing right away, and then maybe Hashem will tell him to sacrifice Yitzchak right away, and then Hashem will give him another son, so that way he'll continue his line, and that way the whole point was the Akedah on the face of it is a contradiction to what Hashem had told Avraham, that Kibi Yitzchak, you call so fine, maybe Hashem will right away after the Suda tell Avraham to sacrifice Yitzchak, and Avraham will go and do that, and he'll actually be sacrificed, and then Hashem will give Avraham another son. So now he's arguing again and again. But now the Sutton realizes if that happens, then yeah, Avraham's going to have a tremendous schus, and I'm not going to have anything to accuse him. So he thinks that so the Sutton figures to play the long game and to wait with the Kitrug until years later. In other words, Miyad, right away, the Sutton came up with this idea, but he didn't actually put it into practice until years later, because he figured otherwise Avraham is going to have too much schus. So that's one explanation. That's an explanation. Now, there's other explanations in the Midrash, and that it means after Yitzchak and Yishmael had an argument, but here the Gemara just brings the one. Next, the Pasuk says, Vayoyim akach noes bincha, Hashem says, please take your son. Amr Rav Shimon Abba, ein na el loshen bakosha. This loshen of na is a loshen of bakosha, of pleading. Moshe l'melach basar adam sha'amdu al mochamas habe. So it's like a human king, where there were many wars against him. Vayoyim giver echad v'nitzchan. He had one particular mighty man who beat them every time and would win the war. The Yomim Amud Olam Milchama Chazaka. Then eventually there comes a particularly strong battle. Amalai, so he says, Bakash Mimcha Amud Libi Milchama Zu. I plead with you, please stand up in this battle and win this battle for me as well. Shalo Yomru Ein Mamish Shalo Yomru Rishonis Ein Behem Mamish. So people don't think that the earlier ones don't count for anything. So Asa Kadosh Baruch Hu Amal Avraham, the same way Hashem is saying to Avraham, no, he's pleading with him to please pass this test, because he's saying, I've tested you with many tests up until now, and you always pass them, and you withstood all of them. So now please withstand this nisoyin for me, so that people don't say ein mamish for the shonim, that the other ones don't count for anything. Now, what does that mean? How would people think all of a sudden he doesn't manage to pass this particular supreme test that all the other ones don't count? So there's a sicha in Chelek Chof, actually, where the Rebbe talks about the idea that we know Avraham brought in the whole concept of Mesiras Nefesh into the world. But up until now, you could say that his Mesiras Nefesh, there was still room for it in Seichel of Kedusha. When it comes to the Akedah, not only does it contradict everything that Hashem contradict everything that Hashem promised Avraham until now, that through Yitzchak you're going to have generations of descendants of the Jewish people and so forth, you can't even say that he's doing it in public to make a Kiddush Hashem, because he's not. Even his Na'orim weren't there. He tells the Na'orim to stay behind, and he and Yitzchak go alone. So it's not even going to be that there's a Mesiras Nefesh over there that's going to publicize of a course in the world. So if he doesn't pass it, then people are going to say Ein Behem Mamish, that it means, in other words, doesn't touch the Mamoshus, the Etzem of the Nefesh. So as opposed to if he passes that, then it's true. It's not going to be a public thing that everybody's going to see at the time, but afterwards everybody's going to realize that Mesiras Nefesh is not just about where there's any room for it in Seichel of Kedusha, but even when there's not. Hashem tells him, Esbincha, and Avraham answers back, which one? Beis Bonim Yeshli, I have two sons. So Hashem tells him, Esyechidcha, your only son. Avraham says, Zed Yachad Le'ima, Zed Yachad Le'ima. Each one is an only son to his mother, Hagar and Sarah, respectively. So Hashem tells him, Asher Ahavta, he says, the one that you love. Avraham says, Tavayu Rachim Nalahu, I love them both. So finally Hashem tells him, Esyitzchak. the lama, the whole kach lama, why did Hashem go to that extreme? Why didn't Hashem straight out tell him Yitzchak in the first place? So that he doesn't get confused. In other words, when he hears it all of a sudden, not bring Yitzchak as a korban, if he goes and does it, people might say, well, you know what? Okay, listen, you know, Hashem shocked him like that, and he just did it without even thinking, and then only afterwards does he realize, wait a minute, what am I doing over here? But like this, when he goes through this whole back and forth, and then Hashem finally tells him, then it's clear that he's doing it with a full mind, and that he really has put thought into it, and he's doing it sincerely. Famous Vorta I heard when I was younger, in the name of Rameo Kahana Hayad, that he says, you see how you shouldn't start too much with questions. If Avram hadn't asked questions, so many questions, and he had just taken it as a given, okay, Hashem wants me to sacrifice my son, fine, I'll go sacrifice Yishmael. Well, we would have spared ourselves a lot of trouble from Yishmael over the centuries. Going on. So the Gemara says, Kidmo Satan Laderach. The Satan came ahead of Avraham on the road. He encountered him on the road and was trying to talk him out of it. Omaloy, and he says to him, and now the words that the Satan are going to use over here, the Gemara is borrowing from most of the going back and forth is taken from one of the dialogues between Eov and his friends. So after Eov has all of his troubles and his friends come to talk with him, so you have at the beginning of Perek Dalet over there, you have a speech by Eliphaz HaTemani. So the Gemara is borrowing psukim and phrases from there and putting them in the Satan's mouth that he's using those same arguments against Avraham. There is a connection, by the way. The Gemara tells us in Bava Basra that Eov was a tzaddik to a certain extent on the level of Avraham in his own way. So therefore the Gemara can use. And Maharsha points out also that Eliphaz is using these arguments to say to Eov, you think that you're suffering unjustly. No, there's very good reason for it. So now the Satan is using those words against Avraham to try and talk him out of his tzidkus. So Amalai says to him, in the words of the Pasuk, Hanisa Dover Elecha Tila, is it right that he should be testing you with something that's going to wear you out? That here Hashem is testing you, fine, Hashem has tested you until now with many things, but this that's going to wear you out and kill off your children, is it right that Hashem is testing you with that? And he continues with the next pasuk, Hine Yisarta Rabim, you have given Musar to many people, and you've taught everybody in the world about Hashem, the Yadayim Rofes Techazik, and you've strengthened weak hands, people who have a weakness in their Amunah, you've strengthened them, Kosho Yikimun Milecha, anyone who is stumbling and faltering, your words, lifted them up, and you taught them how Hashem is just and fair, and so on and so forth. And now what you're doing over here seems to contradict that. And he continues, Ki ata tova yelacha. Now this is coming to you, vatela, and it's wearing you out. It's going to be you. You're going to be bringing your son to the korban, and everything that you did now is going to be useless as a result of that. So this is the Satan's argument to Avram. You've spent your whole life teaching the world about Alakus, and everybody knows that Hashem promised you a son, that you're going to have a Jewish people through them, and now what you're going to do is going to undo all of that. Amalois, Avram answers him, this next one is not from the Psukim and Eo, but rather Avram answers him with a phrase from Tilim. I'm going to go in my Tmimus. I'm not making Hashponus. The Ebishter told me that I know this is what I have to do. By the way, in connection with the Gemara before, about the question was why Yitzchak, how Yitzchak could listen to Avraham, and the answer is that when Avraham is a Novi Muchzak, then we know that what he's saying is genuine. So the Maharat Chayis points out, the Gemara didn't ask the question how Avraham himself could do it. There's no question that when a Novi gets a Nevuah, he knows that this is a Nevuah from Hashem, and he has to follow it, even if it contradicts what the Torah says. The Gemara over here was explaining, the Gemara wanted to explain before how we know that how other people know to listen to him, and again, the answer was because he's a Novi Muchzik. In fact, the Chassam Sofer says this is why we in Rosh Hashanah davening we say the Akedas Yitzchok Lazarayim Berachim Tizkor. We call it Akedas Yitzchok. We talk about it should be for the schus of Yitzchok's descendants. Why not Avraham? And the answer is it's a greater thing for Yitzchok that he didn't know. How could he know 100% for sure whether whether Hashem said this to Avraham, but he knew, since Avraham is a Navi Muchzak, then he has to listen to this. In fact, there's an explanation brought that this is the source of the whole concept that we follow Torah Shabbat Pem, we follow Chachamim throughout the generations, all stems from this. The fact that Yitzchak was told as Torah Shabbat Pem that he should be brought as a Korban, and he listened, that gives us the Nesinas Koyach for all future generations, that we listen to the Chachamim and we listen to Torah Shabbat Pem as they explain it to us. So going back to the Gemara over here, so Avraham is saying to the Satan, never mind all your cheshbonos, you're right, I don't understand how it makes sense, but the Eibishter told me and I'm going with the Tmimus. Omer Loi, so the Satan continues to him with more psukim from Eov over there, Halo yir oscha kisla secha, shouldn't you trust in your yira of Hashem, that it should protect you, and now on the contrary, it's not protecting you, you're losing out because of it. So here Avraham answers him with another pasuk from Eov over there, Zachorna mihu naki avad, remember now, was there ever anybody who was innocent, who lost out by it, meaning there's no way that I'm going to lose out by listening to Hashem. So all your arguments, all your rationalistic arguments or whatever, it doesn't matter, I'm certain that I'm not going to lose out by this, how, I don't understand, but this is how it is. Given the chazir like Hashmielei, the Satan sees that Avraham is not listening to him. Omalei, so he tells him with another phrase from the psukim there in Eod, the Eli Dover Yugunav, a matter has been sneaked to me. So now, like he's going to tell him, like a spoiler almost, like a preview of what's going to happen. Kach shamaiti me'achorei ha'pargur, I overheard from behind the partition, which is so to speak beyond which is of course. So I, being a Nivra, can't go to such a high level, but I heard from behind there that Hashem said, that in the end there was going to be a sheep, a ram, that's going to be brought to the Korban, not Yitzchak. So in other words, he's trying to tell Avraham, you know what, it's fine, you know what, the truth is, Hashem is not going to have Yitzchak brought as a Korban after all, and with this he's also trying to weaken the Nisoyan for Avraham. If Avraham knows that after all Yitzchak is not going to be brought as a Korban, then he's going to think, oh good, you know, then in that case, and the whole thing is a test, and then it's going to weaken the force of the test. So he's trying to do it that way. Omaloi, so Avraham tells him, Kach oinsha shabadoi, you should know the punishment of a liar is, Shafriba oma emes ain't shremin loi. Even if what he said is true, you don't listen to him. So therefore, maybe what you're saying is true, maybe not, I don't know, but in any case, I'm not paying any attention to you. As far as I know, the Eibishter told me to sacrifice Yitzchak, and that's what I'm going to do. What the Eibishter's cheshbonos, so I'm leaving up to him. So all of that is one drosha on Achar Advarim Ha'ela, that it means that it was after the Satan tried to accuse Avraham, and then now he's trying to prevent Avraham from going to the Akedah. Famously, we know the Medrash tells us that the Satan made himself into a river to try to prevent Avraham and Yitzchak from crossing, from getting through. And they went through there, and then eventually the river split open, just like the Yamsuf, and it's in token of that. That's one reason why we go to a river for Tashlich. So now the Gemara says, yeah, here's the other explanation on Achad Varam Eila. Reb Levi Omer, Achad Varav Shor Yishmol LeYitzchok, means after Yishmol and Yitzchok had been talking. Omer LeYishmol LeYitzchok, Ani Godom M'mcho B'mitzvahs. So Yishmol says, I'm greater than you in mitzvahs. Sha'ata Malta Ben Shmoina Shiyamim Vani Ben Shloishas Yishona. You were Gemalot at 8 days old when you didn't know better and you couldn't prevent it. And I, when I was 13, and I did it knowingly and I could have prevented it and I didn't. Omaloi, so Yitzchak says, me'ever echad atam garabi, you're provoking me, you're starting out with it, ube'ever echad atam garabi, you're starting up with me based on one aver that you claim you were willing to offer one part of your body to Hashem, and you think that makes you greater than me? Im oimeli, HaKadosh Baruch Hu zvach atam chalofanai, if Hashem were to tell me, sacrifice yourself, your entire body before me, ani zeveach, then I would do it. Miyadra, the Kimni says Avraham, so then Hashem tested Avraham because he knew that Yitzchak is ready for that. So that's the other meaning of Achar Advarim Ha'ela. Famous explanation of Chizkidus is that Yishmol's, that precisely that was exactly the point. Yishmol's mila is based on rationality. He realizes at 13 years old it's the right thing to do, whereas Yitzchak's at 8 days old, and every Jewish baby boy after that is at 8 days old when they're too young to know the difference, because the mila mitam badas, it represents our essential bond with the Eibishter, something that's beyond tam badas. Getting back now to matters of false Nevi'im and the punishments they get. So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Navi Shi'idiyach, if a Navi tries, a false Navi tries to convince people to worship Avodah Zarah, b'skila, then he gets skila. Reb Shimon says he gets chenek. same machloek as the other way around. Madiche Erni Dachas with Skila, Reb Shimon Oyma Bechenek. And then you have the opposite machloek when it comes to the people who try, who convince the people of a city to become an to worship Avodah Zarah, and thereby become an Erni Dachas. The Chum say those Madichim get Skila, and Reb Shimon says they get Chenek. So, let's work this out. Why? Navi Shidiach Biskila, my time is Rabbanon. Why did Chachamim say that a false Navi who says to worship Avodah Zarah gets Skila? So, because Asya Hadocha Hadocha Mimesis. They say because we learn Gzeira Shava from the word Ladichacha, where it says, which is the same Shurdish as Hadocha, as Madiach, where it says by Mesis. Now, by Mesis, who comes to an individual person and tries to get him to worship Avodah Zarah, the expression in the Pasuk is that the Pasuk says that he should be executed because he was trying Ladichacha to push you away from Hashem and make you worship Avodah Zarah. By the Mesis, it said, by the Novi, rather, it just says Yumos, it just says you should be put to death without specifying the Misa. By the Mesis, a few psukim later, it says Uskalti Ba'avon of a Mes, it says you should give him Skila because Kibikesh La'adichacha, because he's trying to seduce you away from Hashem. So therefore, Malahalam B'Skila, Afkan B'Skila, therefore the Chamlon Gzeira Shava, just like the Mesis, who's trying to talk to an individual and get him to worship Avodah Zarah, he gets Skila the same way the Novi, the false Novi, who also tries to say that you should worship Avodah Zarah should also get skila because it uses the same word la'adichacha by both of them. Reb Shimon, what does Reb Shimon answer that? He doesn't hold of that Zera Shava. He didn't learn it from his Rebbeim. So he says, after all, it doesn't say by the Novi what kind of Misa he gets. So therefore, Misa Ksivabe, it only says Misa. V'chol Misa Amur Avatar Sam Ene Elachenek. And when it says in the Torah Misa without specifying, it means Chenek. So that's why you have that Machalikas. Next, Madiche Irani Dakas Piskila. Why is it that the Chachamim hold that the people who tried to convince an Irani Dakas get Skila? So it's not really, it's not the opposite. In both cases, the Chachamim are saying that he gets Skila, and in both cases, Reb Shimon is saying that he gets Chenek. So why by the Irani Dakas, the people who convinced them to become an Irani Dakas get Skila? Why? My time is the Rabbanon. Then the answer is again, Gamri Hadocha Hadocha. Because again, by the Irani Dachas, it also uses the same Shoresh Hadocha. By Yadichu, as Yoshve Iram, they pushed away the people from worshipping Hashem and Ganon and to worship Avodah Zarah. So we learn it from one. So and then again we have the word Ladichacha by the false Navi and by the Mesis. So therefore they can learn Gzeira Shava from one of those to the Madiche Irani Dachas, and therefore they all get Skila. Reb Shimon, whereas Reb Shimon answers, once he established that according to his opinion, the Navi Sheker gets Chenek and not Skila, because again, we said he doesn't hold of the first Gzeira Shava, he does have the Gzeira Shava over here, but only Gomer Hadocha Hadocha Minavi. He learns the Gzeira Shava from the Navi to the Madiche Reni Dachas, and the Navi, we said, gets Chenek. So here, this Gzeira Shava, he did learn from his Rebbe, that's Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, but the previous Gzeira Shava, not. So therefore, he says, once the Navi Sheker gets Chenek, then so do the Madichi and Idachas. So the one asks, why? Beligma mi Mesis. Why Taka doesn't he learn from Mesis? So we often find, by the way, that the Chachamim would have the words for Gzeira Shava, but not where they apply. So given that Reb Shimon learned this Gzeira Shava of the words, of the word Hidiyah, Hadocha, from one place to the other, what makes him say, or his Rebbeim say logically, that it comes from the Navi rather than from the Mesis? And the answer is because Donin Mesis Rabim. Because more logical to learn from the one who's Mesis many people, namely the ones who are Mesis a whole city to become an Irani Dachas, Mi Mesis Rabim from somebody who's trying to convince a whole bunch of people, namely a Navi. The ain done in Mesis Rabim, in Mesis Yachid, whereas it's not so logical to learn from somebody who's trying to be Mesis as an individual, therefore Reb Shimon says it's less likely to. Now, it's true, of course, that the Navi conceivably could be talking to an individual, but practically speaking, a Navi usually is talking to a bunch of people. In fact, the Binyan Shlomo points out, by the Navi, it says it in plural. Neochav Navdar Lekim Achevin. Asher le'yidatem, that you don't know, whereas that you didn't know until now, whereas by the Mesis of the Yochid, that says Asher le'yidaita. So therefore, the Navi, we would assume, is talking to a Rabbim, and the Madiach of an Irani Dachas, of course, is by definition also talking to the Rabbim. So therefore, Reb Shimon says it's more logical to make that Zeva Shava between them. Okay. So the Gemara says, Ad Rabbah don in Hedyet mi Hedyet, vein don in Hedyet mi Navi. On the contrary, though, wouldn't it be more logical to learn a Hedyet from a Hedyet, a regular person, a regular Mesis, a Mesis of an individual is a regular person, a Mesis of an Erni Dachas is also probably a regular person, vein don in Hedyet mi Navi, whereas it's less logical to learn a Hedyet from a Navi. A Navi Sheker is, after all, I mean, he's putting himself forth as a Navi. So that means he's a higher level person. So in that case, it's less logical to learn from him. And the answer is, Reb Shimon answers, once he's trying to convince people to worship Avodah Zarah, there's no greater Hedyet than that. He's obviously not a Navi, and therefore there's no reason why we should treat him any differently and then not learn a Gzeira Shava from him to anybody else. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Chisda, machloikus beik beoiker haguf da'avodas kechavim." This machloikus of the Chachamim and Reb Shimon about this Navi, about this fake Navi who comes to tell people to worship Avodah Zarah, is only when beoiker haguf da'avodas kechavim he's taking away the whole concept of Avodah Zarah. He's telling people that Hashem said that I should tell you people that the whole concept of Avodah Zarah no longer applies and that you should worship Avodah Zarah. Or the kiyum mitzvah to bitul mitzvah avodas kechavim. Or it also applies whether he's saying yes, parts of the issur of avodah zarah still apply, but parts of them do not. So with avodah zarah, in other words, it doesn't matter whether he's saying in general from now on Hashem said worship avodah zarah, or whether he's saying from now on Hashem said do that one particular kind of avodah zarah is mutter. And the reason is because the Rachmana Omar, since the pasuk says min haderach, that he's trying to take you from the way, that means afilu mitzvah haderach, even part of the way of staying away from avodah zarah is considered makes brands him as a novi sheker. Aval oikar aguf to shar mitzvahs, but Rav Chisda says when it comes to other mitzvahs, if he tells us it no longer applies. Now you have like this. There's two different sections in the Torah that talk about a false navi. You have in Parashas A where it talks about that he tries to tell you to worship Avodah Zarah, and it says don't listen to him and put him to death. Then later on in Parashas Shoftim it talks about in connection with the dinim of a navi, it says that if the Navi says something not in Hashem, that's in Hashem's name, that wasn't from Hashem, then as we learned in the Mishnah, he gets chenek for that, or meisa Navi Ahu. So now, Rav Chisda is saying that when it comes to, so here you have this machlokas, Rav Shimon and the Chachamim, whether a Navi who's trying to tell people of a Zorah gets still or chenek, but when it comes to other mitzvahs, if he tells us, from now on, Hashem said this mitzvah no longer applies, then everybody would agree, divrei hakol v'chenek, then everybody would agree, that he gets chenek for that, the kiyum mitzvah, and as far as other mitzvahs, not of avodah zarah, divrei hakol, if he says to keep some of it and not keep some of it, potter, then he would be potter from punishment entirely, because then it has to be only if he says dover, only if he says a complete thing in Hashem's name. So if he were to say, from now on, there's no mitzvah of Shabbos, from now on, there's no mitzvah of chaylev, or whatever, then we know he's a false navi. But if he says that But if he says there is Shabbos, but for example, a particular mitzvah, a particular malacha in Shabbos no longer applies, then Rav Chisda says he would be potter from mitzvah for that. So the Gemara says, Mosi Rav Amnona. So Rav Amnona says that's a contradiction to that. A Braisa says, when it says, where the Pasuk talking about the false Navi who tries to convince you to worship Avodah Zarah, the Pasuk says, that he's trying to get you off the road, Ashet Sivcha Hashem Alekacha Lalechas Ba, that Hashem commanded you to go in it. Lalechas Zu Mitzvah Esser. The word Lalechas refers to the Mitzvah Esser. That he's trying to tell you to not do a Mitzvah Saseh. But zu mitzvah loisese, when it says in it, means the loisese. Rashi explains that the lalechas, to go in, it means that it's something that you're supposed to be doing. So therefore, that refers to a mitzvah saseh. But we have a pasuk elsewhere that says asher chata ba, which refers to loisa says. So therefore, from there we learn that if he's telling you to violate any mitzvah saseh or any mitzvah loisa saseh, v'isak daydach ba'aber es kachavim eseh, v'isak daydach ba'aber es kachavim. Now, if you're going to tell me, Rav Chista, that those psukim, this pasuk lalachas ba, is in connection with the navi who's trying to tell you to worship avodah zarah. So if you're going to tell me that if you're going to tell me that in that pasuk you're saying that only then when he's telling you to take away part of a mitzvah, then he's still chayiv mitzvah, then that context is talking about avodah zarah. Eseh b'avodas kachovim heichemesh kachasla. Where is an eseh involving avodah zarah? All the things involving avodah zarah are loisa says. The answer is Tilgum Rav Chista v'nitakstem. So Rav Chista answers yes, there is a mitzvah to break avodah zarah. In fact, it's interesting, in the Rambam, Hilchos Avodah Zarah, we just finished it in Shloshah Parakim of Rambam. He has Hilchos Avodah Zarah, and then the Rambam contains 51 mitzvahs, 49 of them are loisesses, only two of them are esses, one is to break Avodah Zarah and get rid of it, and the other one is to destroy any Irani Dachas. So he, really in connection with Avodah Zarah, then you only have one esse, but fine, there is an esse. So now, if he were to tell you that there's no mitzvah breaking Avodah Zarah, then he's a false Navi. Okay, so that's how Rav Chista would understand it according to his Shita. However, Rav Hamnuna still disagrees with Rav Chista and says no. The machloikas of Rav Chachamim and Rav Shimon about whether a Navi was trying to get people to worship Avodah Zarah is chayv skill or chenek, that would be b'oikir haguf, bein b'avodas kachavim, bein b'shar mitzvahs. When he's taking away mitzvah altogether, whether Avodah Zarah or any other mitzvah, then automatically he's chayv misa, and then you have the machloikas of Rav Shimon and Rav Chachamim, what kind of misa? The key mitzvah, so mitzvah mitzvah is avodas kachavim, and also by avodas zarah, if he's trying to take away any part of it, the rachmona omen min aderech, because in connection with avodas zarah, it says min aderech, which means I feel a mitzvah aderech, even part of the way. Avo key mitzvah, so bitter mitzvah, the b'shar mitzvah, give it a hakol potter, but when it comes to other mitzvahs, then everybody would agree that he, when he's taking away only some of it, that he would be potter. So in other words, because again, there it says dover, and that means a dover sholem. So Rashi explains over here that Rav Hamnuna is not talking about where the word dover over there is not talking about where he's taking away something entirely of Torah. There he would get skila. What we're talking about is, for example, the case of Tzidki ibn Knana that we talked about yesterday, where there he says something in Hashem's name, which is not true. Then that's when we're saying that he's a false Navi and he gets chenek. So in other words, in short, it comes out, according to both Rav Chista and Rav Hamnuna, in both cases, if he's taking away avodah zarah entirely, then he's chayev misa, and the machlokas Rav Shimon Nachman, which misa, chenek or skila, and with avodah zarah, also if he's taking away any part of it. Now the difference is, what about when it comes to other mitzvahs? According to Rav Chista, if he tries to take away another mitzvah, then everybody agrees it's chenek, and if he tries to take away part of it, he's potter. And according to Rav Hamnuna, with any other mitzvah, you also have the machlokas Rav Shimon and the Chachamim, and with part of a mitzvah, then he's potter.
So
the difference is, as far as when he tries to take away all of a mitzvah, he comes and says, Hashem said through me that from now on there's no mitzvah of Shabbos. From now on there's no mitzvah.
That's the whole thing.
That's the whole thing. Right. So now, according to Rav Chista, everybody would agree that he gets chenek for that. According to Rav Hamnuna, you'd have the same machloikas of Rav Shimon and the Chachamim, whether according to the Chachamim he'd be getting skila for it, and according to Rav Shimon chenek. Interesting point, by the way, the Meshech Chochma makes a very interesting point on this. Now, in the end, the halacha is then that if a Navi tells you temporarily to suspend a certain mitzvah, you have to listen to him like we had before, the Yoav Bar HaKarmel. But if he tells you to take away a mitzvah permanently, if he tries to take away a mitzvah permanently, you don't listen to him, that Rambam explains in Hilchos Yisro de HaTorah. Since Moshe was the greatest Navi, no Navi can ever override him. So if a Navi comes along later and says Hashem changed his mind and a certain mitzvah doesn't apply anymore, then we know he's a false Navi because he's coming to contradict Moshe Rabbeinu, and we all heard Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, and therefore no later Navi can contradict it. But when it comes to part of a mitzvah, we're saying that a Navi can temporarily override a mitzvah, like Eliyahu Bar HaKamel, the Meshech Chochma makes an interesting point. After all, every other Navi has the name Navi, so in that sense, to a certain extent, he is like Moshe Rabbeinu. Therefore, he has the ability to temporarily tell us to violate any other mitzvah. But when it comes to Avodah Zarah, we didn't hear it through Moshe Rabbeinu. We heard it directly from the Eveshton, Noichiv Eliyahu Lefi Agvor Shmainim. Therefore, no Navi has the ability to override it even temporarily. Okay. So the Gemara continues, Tanan Rabbanan, Hamisnabi Lako Dovah Minat Torah, a Novi says to take away something from the Torah, Chayev, then he's Chayev Misa, that he's saying that a certain mitzvah no longer applies. L'kayim Mitzvah L'vatel Mitzvah, what if he says to keep part of the mitzvah, but to take away part of it, Rav Shimon Poiter, then Rav Shimon says that he would be Potter. But when it comes to Avodah Zarah, even if we were to say it's only for one day, today Hashem said you should worship Avodah Zarah, and tomorrow you should be mevatel it, then everybody would agree, even Reb Shimon, he's chayev misa. So, now we just had the machlokas of Chista and Reb Hamnuna about how to understand the machlokas of Reb Shimon and the Chachamim, so how does this braisa fit with both of them? So the Gemara says, Abaya sova lakir of Chista, Abaya agrees with Reb Chista's opinion before, or Mekadet lakir of Chista, he will explain this braisa in accordance with Reb Chista's shita, as the Gemara is going to explain in a second. The Rava sova lakir of Hamnuna, Rava holds like Reb Hamnuna, and he explains the braisa, according to Rav Hamnuna. So again, according to Rav Chista, the machloikas was only as far as Avodah Zarah between Rav Shimon and the Chachamim, and according to Rav Hamnuna, the machloikas between them also applied to other mitzvahs, where he's taking away the whole mitzvah. Abaya sova lakir of Chista, or mataritz lakir of Chista, as follows. Hamisnabi lakir dover min haTorah, a person says nevuah to take away an entire mitzvah of the Torah. Divrei hakol b'chenek, everybody agrees he's chayiv chenek. What if he says to keep part of a mitzvah but discard some of it? Reb Shimon, like temporarily, for example, Reb Shimon poter. Reb Shimon says he's poter. And in fact, it's not only Reb Shimon would hold that. The Chachamim would hold that. The Chachamim would hold that way as well. Rashi explains that in that case, why does it say Divrei Reb Shimon? Why does it say Reb Shimon poter? It means, in other words, that when he says that he's potter from chenek, meaning, in other words, that even in the reisha, when he's taking away an entire mitzvah, it means he's chai of chenek, as opposed to by the other chachamim, they learn that by other mitzvahs, it would be based on a different pasuk, based on achad nozia, and novia, shiyozer, the daber, daber, bishmi, a different pasuk. In Parshas Shoftim, so then if we just said potter, we would think in the earlier part, it means chai of each one according to his svara, whereas Rav Chista had explained before that by all the other mitzvahs, they both agree that it's chenek. So therefore, that's why the Braisa says Rav Shimon potter, in order to clarify for us also the opinion of the Chachamim. But when it comes to Avodah Zarah, afilu omer hayom yivduol l'mocha batlua, even if he says worship it only today, but be mevatel it tomorrow, chayev, then he would be chayev. What is he chayev? Mal kedisle, Reb Shimon and the Chachamim hold respectively whatever they hold, chesila and chenek respectively. So the braisa can be understood according to Rav Chista's svara. Rava sova lakir Rav Hamnuna, mataris lakir Rav Hamnuna, Rava holds like Rav Hamnuna, and he understands the braisa like Rav Hamnuna. He learns the braisa as follows: Hamisnabi lako dover min haTorah. He says nevuah to take away a complete mitzvah from the Torah, bein b'avodas chachamim, bein b'shar mitzvahs, whether avodah zarah or whether other mitzvahs. Now, in Abaya's explanation, it meant that it was only talking about other mitzvahs other than avodah zarah. Now, Rava is explaining that no, this part of the braisa is talking about whether avodah zarah or other mitzvahs chayev. Then he's going to be chayev misa. Which kind of misa? Malkidi islay or malkidi islay? Rav Shimon will hold chen. If he's saying to keep part of it and be mevatel some of it, so then it depends. B'sha'ar mitzvahs Reb Shimon poter. In other mitzvahs, Reb Shimon says he's poter, and again, v'hu adin l'rabbanan, and the same thing will apply to the Chachamim, and here also the idea is the reason why it would say Reb Shimon is because that to clarify in the earlier part of the Braisa that it means it's a chiddush, even be potter from chenek, even though it's the most lenient. All the more so he'd be chayev, all the more so he'd be potter from skila, which he would have had if he was oikar as hakol, if he tried to uproot the entire mitzvah. So that's why it says Rav Shimon poter as a chiddush that Rav Shimon is going to potter him even from that lesser misa. Or Avodah is kechavim, but when it comes to Avodah Zarah, afilo oimah hayoyim yivduol, l'mocha batlua, even if he says worship it today, be mevatel tomorrow, chayev, then he's chayev misa, and again, mauke di islay, Rav Shimon and the chachamim are going to hold their respective opinions of what he's chayev misa. So the braisa works nicely according to both Rav Chista's and Rav Hamnuna's shittas. Okay. The Gemara continues, Amar Rabba Bahu Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Bakol, when it comes to all mitzvahs of the Torah, Im Yoyim Alachon Navi, Avur Al Dibre Torah, if a Navi tells you, go against what it says in the Torah, like El Yoh Bahar HaKamel, Shmaloi, then you should listen to him. And in fact, as we learned before, you have a mitzvah of listening to him. Chusme Avodas Kechavim, with the exception of Avodah Zarah. As we said before, that if he's Mevatel Avodah Zarah, even for a day or even for a moment, then we know automatically he's a false Navi. You also, like we said before, Tosfos discusses over here in various other Rishonim, when we say to listen to Eliyahu, are we talking about that Eliyahu comes to them with an explicit nevuah saying, Hashem told me that today we should be bringing a korban outside the Beis HaMikdash? The Rambam, for example, writes explicitly that way. You would ask Eliyahu, what do you mean we bring a korban outside the Beis HaMikdash? That's a Chiyuv Koris. He would tell them that ordinarily, yes, it is Osir, but I'm doing it today by the word of Hashem, because this way we'll show that Baal is worthless. So in other words, it comes out that the Rambam is learning that that Eliyahu would have actually had to have an actual nevuah, an actual explicit nevuah, to be doing that, as opposed to Tosfos discusses, aside from that, he's entitled the Migda Milsa, and he's entitled to make a temporary fence around the Torah to be mevatel a certain mitzvah in order to uphold the rest of it, the same way as the Chachamim make Zeris and Takonis throughout the generations. Anyway, so here the Gemara is saying, when it comes to other mitzvahs, we listen to him, as a Hodo Astra, as a one-time thing. Chutz Me'avodas Chachamim, again, except for Avodah Zarah, Sha'afilu Ma'amad L'Chachamah Be'emtzah Rakiyah, even if he makes the sun stand still for you in the middle of the sky, Al Tishma Lo, don't listen to him, you know that he's a false Navi. So Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Rabbi Yosef Aglili explains in this connection, Higia Torah was Seif Daita Shalavetus Chachavim. The Torah knows how far the power, Hashem knows how far the power of false Nevi'im can go. That Hashem gives them this power that to make it possible. L'fichach Nosna Torah Mem Shalava, therefore the Torah gives. The Torah, therefore, Hashem tells you, and Hashem warns you in advance, that yes, they're going to have that ability. They're going to have that capability to override nature. And the Torah, therefore, says, that even if he makes the sun stand still in the middle of the sky, Al Tishma Lo, don't listen to him. In other words, the Pesukim in Parashat Tur'ei says that. He says that I'm going to do an Ois and a Moifis, and sure enough, the Ois and Moifis comes true, and he says, therefore, on the basis of that Ois and Moifis worship of Avodah Zarah, the Torah says, don't listen to him. He's made the sun stand still in the middle of the sky. The Torah is warning you in advance, yes, false Nevi'im, sometimes the Eved is going to give them the ability to do that. But that's only Kiminasa, Hashem is testing you, yeah. On the other hand, though, that's Rav Yosi. Tanya, but we learn in a Braisa, Amar Rav Akiva, Chas v'sholem, Shachodesh Baruch Hu, Ma'amid Chama lo'ovir etzani, Chas v'sholem, Hashem should allow that the sun should stand still for those who violate his word. How would it be possible that Hashem would allow that to happen? What the Pasuk means is Ela kiven Hananya ben Azur. No, what the Pasuk is telling you is about Hananya ben Azur, Shemetchilose Navi Emes, as we learned yesterday, he was originally a true Navi in the times of Yirmiyahu, all of a Seif Navi Sheker. Later on he became a false Navi. As we learned yesterday, he stole a Navua from Yirmiyahu and made a Kavachoyma on it and passed it off as his own, and then he went from bad to worse and became an outright Navi Sheker. So then the Torah is telling you, even though you knew until now, he had a Chazakah of being a Navi Emes, and now he gives you an Ois and a Moif to uphold a false nivu of his, still then the Torah is telling you don't listen to him. But Rabbi Akiva is saying it's impossible. Hashem would never allow in the first place that somebody who's obviously a false Navi is going to make the sun stand still. That's not going to happen. By the way, the Sifri learns from Pesukim over there that it means that you don't retroactively consider him a false Navi. And the Vilna Gaon explains it means the Hanani ben Azra as well. From now on, he's a false Navi, don't listen to him. But everything until now, you're not going to go second guess and say maybe until now he's a false Navi before. No, up until now he had a chazaka of a true Navi, and therefore what you followed him was correct. Okay. The last thing the Mishnah had said was v'zomimei baskoyin. We said that another case of a person who gets chenek is edim zomimin against a baskoyin and her boil, whereas we said a baskoyin get in certain cases gets sreifa, the boil always gets chenek, the edim, when it turns out that they're edim zomimin, they also get chenek. So the Gemara says, minohani mili. Where do we know that from? Amar of Acha, Brei Rav Ikka D'Tanya. We learn in a Braisa, Rav Yosi Amar, Ma Tamad Leim of Asisim Loi Kasha Zomam Lasas Lo Ochiv. What does the Pasuk mean when it says that you should do to him, to the Edim, what he plotted to do to his brother? Now, why Lo Ochiv? The reason is because all Edom Zomimin in the Torah, Zomimin or Bayalan Kayota Behen. Then the original person who was accused and the Edom Zomimin and the Boyle all get exactly the same Misa. So for example, all the cases of Arias that we learned earlier in the Masechta that get skila, both the man and the woman get skila, and if the Edom are Zomimin, then they get skila. And the same thing with Seifa, and the same thing with any other Misses based in. Here we have a distinction. Bas Koyen, but when it comes to a Bas Koyen, he besreifa vein boil of a Seifa. Only she gets Seifa, the boil does not. And the reason is because since the pasuk says he mechalelas, so the word he teaches us that only she gets skila. So zomimin any adaya im loyhu kru im lohu kru. So now when it comes to edim zomimin, so now on the one hand they're trying to get her skila, they're trying to get not skila sreifa, they're trying to get her boil chenek. When they turn out to be edim zomimin, which punishment do we give them? We wouldn't know. So any day in loyhu kru im lohu kru. That is why the pasuk says that he plotted to do to his brother. Therefore, it means to his brother, not to his sister. So, in other words, it's not that. Normally, of course, Edom Zomimin Achayev Misa, whether they were testifying against a man or a woman. The point of this word La'achiv is in this unique case where you have a difference between the punishment that his brother, that another man would get, that he's testifying against, versus a woman, then we go with the punishment that they were going to give to the man, namely Chenek. So, that is where we learn that the Edom Zomimin get chenek, even though what they were trying to do to her is seifa.
Only because she was a Bas Koyen, right?
She was a Bas Koyen, right. But that's, in other words, so we have two different things. The fact that it says he teaches us that she gets seifa and the boil does not, and from Vasi Samla Kasha Zom Las La Ochiv, means in turn that the Edom Zomimin get the punishment that they were plotting for him, not for her. Tosfos, by the way, discusses at the beginning of Masechta Makos, does that also apply if they weren't trying to get him miss at all? Let's say, for example, they don't know who he was. Or let's say he ran away and they can't be testifying against him. Or let's say he was a cotton over 9 years old. So then only she's chayav misa. Does this rule also apply? And nevertheless, we say, since the punishment for the boil, if it were possible, would be chenek, then therefore also they're getting chenek, or do we say, in this case, since they're only accusing her, maybe they would in fact get safer. So Tosfos discusses it. We'll learn Bez Hashem, and we'll talk about it at the beginning of Makos. Okay. Now that we talked about the various people who are chayav misas based in, so now we said that when they say vidui, we learned earlier in the Masechta, they say vidui before they're executed and they get a place in Olam Haba. So now let's talk more generally about everybody who gets a place in Olam Haba. Kol Yisrael Yeshlem Chelek Olam Haba. All Jewish people have a portion in Olam Haba. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Va'amech, your people, Kulam Tzadikim, are all Tzadikim. La'olam Yeshu Oretz, they will forever inherit the earth, and the earth over here means Olam Haba. And that pasuk continues, Netzim Atoi, they're the branch of my planting, they're the branch that I, Hashem, planted, Maaseh Yodai, the work of my hands, Lehispoer, that I take pride in them. So in other words, Hashem takes pride in every yid, and therefore he has a chelek l'olam haba, with the exceptions that the Mishnah is going to go on to say. There's a big machloikus, by the way, what olam haba means in this context, in the next couple of dafim, right, throughout this pedek, when we're going to talk about olam haba. So you have like this. There's Tchias HaMesim, there's Yemos HaMashiach, and there's really four different things. There's the world that the neshama goes to after 120. There's Yemos HaMashiach, there's Tchias HaMesim, and then there's the time after Tchias HaMesim. Which one of those is meant by Olam Haba over here? There's a lot of discussion among the Rishonim. The Rambam, for example, holds that Olam Haba over here means the world of the neshamas, the world where the neshama goes to after 120. After an individual person passes away. The Rambam explains, there's going to be Yemos HaMashiach, of course, there's going to be Tchias HaMesim, but all of that, Yemos HaMashiach is going to be, the Rambam learns, Olam Kiminhogin Noyag, it's basically going to be a naturalistic word, just that we're not subject to the Goyim anymore. And the Rebbe talks about in Sichas that even according to the Rambam, there's a second Tzkufa in that, but anyway, then you have Tchias HaMesim, which is that the Mesim who lived throughout all the years of Golos will be able to enjoy that time of Yemos HaMashiach as well, but the Rambam learns, eventually everybody's going to pass away, and then everybody's going to be forever in Gan Eden in the world of Neshamas. So according to him, Olam Haba means the world that Neshamas go to now, every individual after he passes away, and eventually everybody's going to go there.
means there won't be a world.
It means there won't be a physical world anymore, yeah, based on those Gemaras later on our Perek, that can be understood that way. And the Rambam understands it that way, that eventually it's going to be pure Neshamas. The Ramban disagrees with that and says that after Tchias Amesim, people are going to live forever, and that's what's called Olam Abba over here. The world when we're on a greatly higher level, we're going to be neshamas in bodies, but the bodies themselves are going to be on a much higher level. The Alter Rebbe and Torah by the way, agrees with that, and throughout Chassidus, it always takes that view, that the ultimate reward is for neshamas in Gufim. And then you have different, there's a lot of different other explanations. The Yad Ramah over here on the Gemara explains that that Tchias HaMesim is Olam Abba. That means, in other words, when we talk about Kohi Yisrael Hashem Tchias HaMesim, it means that they're going to have Tchias HaMesim. And then people are going to be, and at that period, then again, there's going to be bodies. The Gemara talks about we're going to be giving Truma to Aaron HaKohen. So you have that. And then earlier than all of them, Reb Sadia Goin explains that after Tchias HaMesim, there's going to be a similar to what the Rambam says, there's going to be a long time over there that everybody will live together, and all the people who were alive when Mashiach comes and Tchias HaMesim happens, as well as all the tzaddikim who come alive then, people will live long lives, and people will live and eat and drink, and then eventually Hashem is going to make a new world called Olam Haba, and the tzaddikim are going to be brought there together with their bodies, and at that time the Rishayim are going to be sent to Gehenna with their bodies. So that's what Sadia Goin understands. Olam Haba means it doesn't exist now, Hashem is going to create it then as a place of the place of ultimate reward for the tzaddikim with their bodies. So there's a number of different opinions. Okay, so the Mishnah continues. Now the following people, though, do not have a chelek in Olam Haba unless they do tshuva. By the way, there's a fascinating letter from the Rebbe to somebody asked him. There was a chassid in Newark, Rav David Stockhammer, who wrote to the Rebbe that Friedrich Rebbe had said a maimer, and it was published in Akri V'Akdusha, saying Kol Yisrael Shalom Chelek Olam Haba without exception. So Rav David writes to the Rebbe, what about our mission over here? The Rebbe goes through a fascinating thing, explaining that even the people were saying over here that maybe they do have a chance after all. First of all, the Rebbe explains they can have children who have schus and they bring their parents schus. Second of all, you can have, even without children, there can be other people who schus and help them. For example, Rav Yechanan schlepped Acher out of Gehenna. Then you can have, and then if it goes on and on through different possibilities, ultimately, if you really have, there's no other way, then fine. It means the neshama is still chelek al-kavim ma'al-mamash, so it means it won't be able to come alive in the same body that it inhabited in this world, because that body has been completely corrupted. But the neshama will still exist, and will still have a place for Olam Haba, and will have to come back in a different body. And it's literally, you can see in this letter, that Rebbe is not giving up on any yid. Okay, so the mission
this is
our Rebbe.
Oh.
Our Rebbe in Tavshin Gimel wrote this letter, yeah. So, Ve'elu she'en lam chelek olam haba. Ha'oimer en tchias ha'mesin min ha'torah. The first one is a person who says there's no tchias ha'mesin min ha'torah. Now, an interesting point is that Rashi says over here is the Gemara is going to bring a whole bunch of limudim from Pesukim for the concept of Tchias HaMesim. It doesn't really say it so explicitly in Pesukim. The Gemara is going to darshan it from various Pesukim. So Rashi learns that it means even if a person believes in Tchias HaMesim, but he doesn't believe in these droshes, nevertheless, Rashi says that's not enough. He's a koifer. Because what do you mean? If he says there's no Tchias HaMesim in a Torah, who cares about his amuna? His amuna is just based on his own rationality. That's not enough, says Rashi. Now, the Be'er Sheva actually says that this can't possibly be true. And he says it must be a Talmud Torah. It can't be that Rashi himself wrote this. He B'chlal says that maybe even Rashi on this Perek, he says not actually from Rashi himself in general. He says other things throughout this Perek that he has a problem with things that it says in Rashi. But he says maybe this is not from Rashi himself, and it can't really be correct to say that. What's the difference? He believes. What's the difference whether he believes in the particular drushas that we're saying in the Pesukim over here or not? And then there are different other... There are different other explanations of what the Gemara means over here in Tchias HaMesim min ha-Torah. That was saying that one interesting explanation is that it means what he says, that Tchias HaMesim is not as a result of learning Torah, but rather it can come from other things. Ultimately, a person's chus, the Tchias HaMesim, comes from learning Torah, so therefore, so if he doesn't believe that, then that's a problem in his amuna. But there are different other understandings that it means, for example, that he believes, but he just says, logically, there must be a Tchias HaMesim, but the Torah never says anything about it. In other words, so a little bit different than what Rashi is saying over here, that he doesn't believe in these drushas. Fine, maybe if he doesn't believe in the drushas, it's not so bad, but at least he has to believe that the Torah is actually saying this rather than just I came up with it on my own, basically. So So you have several different understandings of what the Gemara means over here. Ein tchias hameisim min haTorah. So yeah, the Be'er Sheva, for example, explains that means that the person says when a person thinks there's nothing in Torah that says about tchias hameisim, then that would be a problem. Even if he says yes, there is such a thing as tchias hameisim, but it means nobody's saying I believe it logically, but there's no source for it in Torah. And then the Shev Shmeitz actually is the one who brings this idea that it means that a person has to realize that Tchias HaMeisim comes because of Ur Torah, it's the light of Torah that a person learned in this world that brings him alive by Tchias HaMeisim, so he has to believe in that. Okay, so that's the first thing. The Ein Torah Min HaShemayim, also a person who says the Torah is not from Shemayim, the Apikurdus, and an Apikurdus, which is going to be defined later in the parak what exactly an Apikurdus is. Rabbi Akiva Oyma Afakur B'Sifrat B'Sfarim HaChitzonim. Rabbi Akiva says also people who read external books, which the Gemara is going to explain what those are. These are books that contain kfira or other things like that that weaken a person's emunah. But we're going to see later on that Sadik Test Kuf, the Gemara is going to deal in detail with what are these Sfarim HaChitzonim. Also, Rabbi Akiva continues, V'aloicha Shalamaka, also a person who whispers over a wound, V'oimer, he says the pasuk, Kalamachla, Shasamta Mitzrayim, La'osa Malacha, any of the diseases that I brought on Mitzrayim, I won't bring on you, Ki ani Hashem Refecha, because I, Hashem, am your healer. What it means is basically, this was in yesterday's Ramam Shloisha Parakim, it means basically he's considered a koifer. In effect, he's saying that the Torah is just meant for physical refuah. So now, a person, for example, says tilim for a choyla, that's not a problem. A person says psukim to protect himself from future harm, that's not a problem. But here he's whispering over it, and the Gemara explains later on, he also spits, and therefore he's being mevaza, the name of Hashem, and therefore he's in Rav Akiva says he loses chelik, lo lamabah for that. Abba Shol says also a person who pronounces Hashem's name with its letters. Rashi later on in the parak explains that we're referring to the 42 letter name of Hashem. That a person pronounces that name, then Abba Shol says he loses his place in Olam Haba. Tosfos elsewhere says that it also means a person who pronounces the name Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, which is why we say Yud-Kei Vav-Kei rather than saying the Hayes, is in order to avoid that issue of Hogaz Hashem Bo Yisrael. The Mishnah continues, Shloshim Lochim Va'abah Had Yotis Ein Laim Chelik Olam Haba. There are three kings in Jewish history and four commoners who do not have a place in Olam Haba. Shloshim Lochim, the three kings are Yerovam, Achav or Menashe. We're going to talk about all of them in detail later on in the parak, what they did wrong and why they lost their place in Olam Haba. All of them worshipped Avodah Zarah and did other serious averus. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Menashe Yeshle Chelik Olam Haba. Menashe does have a place in Olam Haba. Shenema, because the Pasuk describes at one point, Menashe was captured by the soldiers of Asher and brought in chains to Asher over there and they were torturing him and so forth, and then he did Shuvah. Vayispalel Eilav, he davened to Hashem. Vayishma Trinose, and Hashem listened to his plea. Vayishiveu Yerushalayim L'malchuse, and he returned him to his kingship in Yerushalayim. So therefore, so you see that Hashem accepted his Shuvah. Omruloi, the Chacham said no. It says that L'machose Hashiva, Hashem restored him to his kingship. V'loi L'chayu, or L'mabah Hashiva, but Hashem did not restore him to the life of Olam Haba. If it said Vayishiveu Yerushalayim by itself, then fine. But when it says L'machose, it means Hashem restored him to Yerushalayim only as far as that he can continue to be a king, but not that he has a place for Olam Haba. We're going to learn about it in more detail later on in the Kufimol Kufdala. The Gemara is going to talk all about it. By the way, a very interesting thing, actually, the Malbim brings in his Pirush on Tilim, according to the opinion that Menashe's Tshuva was accepted, he learns that Kapitel Samach Vav of Tilim is actually Menashe's Tefillah of thanks to Hashem for saving him from that. He says that not all of Tilim, he says, had to be composed, Davka, by Dovid HaMalach, some of it could have been composed by later generations, up till even, he says, the beginning of the second Beis Hamikdash, and he attributes certain Kapitel to later figures in Jewish history. He says that Kapitel comes from Menashe. Ad Kedekachya. Okay, continues the Mishnah. Arba had Yotis, who are the four commoners? The first one is Bilam. Now, Bilam, to be sure, is not a Yid, but you would think, since he had Nevuah, maybe he has a place in Olam Haba. No, the Mishnah is telling us that now. The Doig, the Achitofel, the Geichazi. And again, the Gemara is going to go through later on in later Dafim in the Kufs and deal in detail with each one of those, what they did wrong and why they lost their place in Olam Haba. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. The Kol Kach Lama. We said in the Mishnah that a person says that there's no Tchias HaMeisim in HaTorah, then he doesn't have a place in Olam Haba. Why such a serious punishment? And the answer is Tana. We learn a Braisa. Who kafir b'tchias amesim? He denied tchias amesim. Lefichach lo yilei tchelet b'tchias amesim. Therefore, he's not going to have a portion in tchias amesim. Now, according to the various understandings that we said before of what Olam Haba is, each of them, we said that according to some Rishonim, Olam Haba and tchias amesim are not exactly the same thing. But even if they're not, tchias amesim according to them is a prerequisite for Olam Haba. For example, according to the Psad Yagoyin, we said that the idea is there's going to be tchias amesim and they're going to live long, happy lives, and eventually Hashem is going to take them with their bodies to Olam Haba, so therefore it means there has to be Tchias HaMesim before there's an Olam Haba. And the same thing, according to the various other Rishonim, each one of them, Tchias HaMesim, is connected with Olam Haba in some way. So now he denied that there's Tchias HaMesim in HaTorah, therefore he doesn't get Tchias HaMesim. Whenever Hashem pays back, there's always Mida Kenegan Mida. As we have an example, the Amr of Shmuel ben Achmeni, Amr of Yonason, Minayin Shekom Yosef Shalakarish Baruch Midah Kenegan Midah. How do we see that all of Hashem's Midas are Midah Kenegan Midah? Shenemar, by Yomei Elisha, so you have those Psukim describe in Melachim, how there was a famine going on in the city of Shomron, the capital of the Aseret HaShevatim, and it was really desperate, people were even eating their children. And then by Yomei Elisha, Shimud Var Hashem Ugrim, Elisha says, here, listen to the word of Hashem, at this same time tomorrow, 24 hours from now, saw solas, a saw of fine flour, b'shekel, will sell for only a shekel, b'saw saim sa'odim b'shekel, and two saw of barley will sell for a shekel, b'shar shomran, in the gate of shomran. So in other words, 24 hours from now, the famine will be over, and there'll be plenty of food, and prices will be much cheaper. And the pasuk is Vayana Shalish Asher HaMelech Ulam Melech Nishan Al Yodoy. The officer on whom the king was leaning says answers as Isha the king. He answers the man of Hashem. He answers Elisha. Vayomer and he says Hine Hashem Oisa Arubas V'Shemayim. Here, even if Hashem were to make windows in Shemayim, Hayia Hadavar Azeh, would such a thing actually happen? Vayomer and Elisha tells him Hincha Roya Beinecha. Behold, you will see it with your eyes. Or Misham Lo Seichel, but you won't get to eat from it. So what happened? Uchtiv. And sure enough, the pasuk says that the pasuk Yisrael, you have the Torah, Parshas Metzorah, the Avo Anoshim Metzoroyim, who were sitting over there outside the city, and they go and they find the camp of Aram is deserted, and they go and plunder it, and so forth. And the pasuk says that it was running out of the gates to find food. By Hiloichin, it happened to this officer exactly that. By Yumisu Oisam on Bashar, the people trampled him in the gate, by Yomus, and he died. So we see that Hashem paid him back Midah Keneged Midah. He denied the possibility of such a nest, and therefore that Hashem punished him through the nest actually itself. So the Gemara says, "V'duma killa Elisha gormalei." How do you know it's because midah kenegan midah? Maybe it's because Elisha cursed him. The Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav killa chacham afilah achinam iba. When a chacham curses a person, even if it's for nothing, even if it's based on a mistaken understanding, then it still comes true. So maybe it's that he spoke chutzpedik to Elisha in front of the king, and maybe therefore that's why he got punished like this. The answer is, in came lichtav krov ha'imasuhu v'yomers. Then the pasuk would just say, they trampled him and he died. My bashar, why does the pasuk say, in the gate, meaning al iske shar, meaning because of the matter involving the gate. And the word shar also has a double meaning in Gemara terminology. Shar means the price. So it means because of the matter of the price. Elisha had said the prices are going to go down. And this guy mocked and said it's impossible. So therefore, Hashem punished him bashar through the fact that the prices are going down. And that shows that Hashem punished him midah kenegan midah. So the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Yochanan. Amar Rav Yochanan on the side over here it says that there are Gusaris that don't have it, but whatever. Minayim l'tchias hamesim in HaTorah. Where is there a source in Torah for tchias hamesim? Again, the Mishnah had said that a person says ain't tchias hamesim min HaTorah, and again, especially according to Rashi, that even if a person believes in tchias hamesim but doesn't believe there's a source for it in Torah, then he loses his chelik on Abba. So where is that source? So here's the first one. Shenema, the pasuk says, "Unesata min menus from Hashem la'aron akoyin." You should give from your produce. The Hashem is speaking to the Levim. You take from your ma'aser rishon and you give the truma of Hashem. You give trumas ma'aser to Aaron akoyin. Now, Aaron la'olam kayam. What do you mean? Is Aaron going to live forever? V'alo le'nichas Eretz Yisrael. He never even came into Eretz Yisrael. Should know some like truma that anybody should be able to give him truma. The whole concept of trumas and ma'aser only begins once they came into Eretz Yisrael. Aaron had long since passed away by then. Ela malamitra osid lichyos. It means that Aaron HaKohen is going to come alive. But tchias hamesim, v'Yisrael noisim leitzurama. And then the Jewish people will give him truma. Mikam the tchias hamesim in HaTorah. There is a source in Torah for tchias hamesim.
So that's what we're going to give to his children.
No, but then it would say l'bnei Aaron HaKohen. So my Gemara says Aaron HaKohen means Aaron personally will get truma. So that's one source. Dvei Rabbi Shmuel Tana. In the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, they taught another. In the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, they taught that the word la'aron, we can't use that for that drasha. Rather, we have a different drasha that we learn from the word la'aron. La'aron means ke'aron, means the koyim that you give truma to has to be like Aaron. Ma'aron chover, just like Aaron is a chover, who's careful with truma v'tara, af bon of chavedim. The same way his descendants, any koyim that you give truma to in future generations, has to be a chover who's a Tamad Chacham and is careful with Tumah V'Tahara. Why a Tamad Chacham? So Omer of Shmuel Manachmeni, Omer of Yonason, Minayin Chein Noisin Trumah L'Koyin Amoretz. How do we know from a different Pasuk that you shouldn't give Trumah to a Koyin who's an Amoretz? Shenema, the Pasuk says, Chizkiyahu says to the people in his times, in the middle of the first place of Mikdash, Vayomer La'om L'Yoshvei Yerushalayim, he tells the people, the inhabitants of Yerushalayim, to give the portions for the Kohenim and Levim. People have been careless before that with Truma and Meiser, so now he's telling them to strengthen that and start giving Truma and Meiser, to give the portions for the Kohenim and Levim, so that they should hold strong to the Torah of Hashem. In other words, Pasha, you're going to give them their Parnasa, and then they'll be able to learn Torah full time. So therefore, we learn from that. Kol ha-machzik b'Torah Hashem, anyone who holds strong to the Torah of Hashem, anyone who learns Torah, Yeshrei Menos, he deserves a portion, he deserves Truma and the other Matnas Korona, v'she'ein ha-machzik b'Torah Hashem, if he doesn't hold on to the Torah of Hashem, if he's an Amoret, ein loy Menos, he does not deserve a portion of Matnas Korona. So that's what, according to Rabbi Shmuel, that's what we learn from the word la'aron, not about that Aaron is going to get by Tchis Amazim, but rather that any future koyin that you're going to give truma to has to be a chover, has to be a tamad chacham like Aaron. The Gemara continues, Amen of Acha Ba'adah, Amen of Yehuda, Kol Noisin Truma L'Koyin Amoretz. In fact, if a person gives Truma to a koyin Amoretz, Kilo Noisin L'Fnei Ari. It's as if he's putting that Truma in front of a lion. Ma'ari Suffolk Duris Va'oichel, Suffolk Ain't a Duris Va'oichel. A lion, you take, grabs an animal, you never know whether it's going to be Duris and eat the animal or whether it's not. Rashi explains that Duris would mean, is he going to kill it and eat it right away before it spoils, or is he only going to go and drag it off to his den and eat it later on? After it spoils. So there's different explanations among the Shonim what Durdus means exactly, but the point is, you never know exactly how he's going to do it. Different explanation of Durdus is to eat it while it's alive versus Turdus would be to kill it and then eat it. Whatever, the point is, you never know how the lion is going to eat it. Af Koyin Amoretz, Suffolk Ochel B'Tara, Suffolk Ochel B'Truma. The same way, you give Truma to a Koyin Amoretz. And you never know if he's going to eat it in a state of Tara, like he's supposed to, or he's going to eat it while he is Tomei, and therefore don't be giving him Truma. So the comparison is, in other words, again, a lion, it might eat the meat while it's fresh, it might eat it while it's spoiled. One is more suitable to eat, the other one less so. The same way, the koyin might be eating at a time when it's suitable to eat, and the time when it's not suitable to eat. Marsha points out, by the way, that Durdus is actually one of the simonim of Trefa. One of the eight major kinds of Trefas is Drusa, is an animal that was clawed by a wild, a domestic animal, that was, whatever, a kosher animal that was clawed by a wild animal. So therefore, the Gemara uses Durdus over here as a metaphor for Tuma. Anyway, Rabbi Yochanan Omer at Gurdim Loy Misa. Rabbi Yochanan says that, in fact, not only that, a person gives Truma to a Koyin Amoretz, he's causing him to die. Because as we learned in an earlier parak, a Koyin who eats Truma when he's Tomei is Chayiv Misa. Shenemo Mesu Voiki Yichaloluhu. The Pasuk says they will die because of it, because they desecrate it. So therefore, so he's causing the Koyin is going to have this Truma. He's not going to realize he's an Amoretz. He's not going to realize that he has to eat it. When he's Tahor, he's going to end up eating it when he's Tomei. He's not going to know that he's Tomei, and then he's going to be Chayiv Misa B'dei Shemayim. Rabbi Lozman and Yaakov Tona, in the yeshiva of Rabbi Lozman and Yaakov, they taught another braisa that a person gives truma to a Koyin Amoretz, af masiyoy avoin ashma. He also burdens him up with many averis. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, also talking about, continuing about a Koyin eating truma when he's Tomei, the siyu osam avoin ashma, they will be born, they will have to bear much guilt, an avera of guilt, but ochomas kodshehem, When they eat their kodshim, when they're not supposed to. Targum Onkelos, in fact, translates it over there. That means when they eat it, when they're tomei. Rashi actually explains on the pasuk over there that it's not really the pasuk is also referring, is really primarily referring to a zor eating truma, but in addition, it also means when a kohen eats truma, when he's tamei, he's bearing many averus, and therefore, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is saying that a person does that. He gives truma to a kohen am ha'aretz, and he doesn't know better, and he eats it in a state of truma, then the person who gave it to him, he thinks he's doing the kohen a favor, and really it turns out that he's causing the kohen to have many averus. Marsha points out that it uses the word ashma, meloshon an osham, like an osham is brought for a suffix, and here also it's a suffix whether he's going to eat a potato or a tumah. Okay, in any case, the point of all of that was that the word la'aron ha'kohen is not necessarily meant for the drosha of that aron ha'kohen in the future will receive truma, because instead it can be for this, for these droshas about giving truma dafka to a kohen who was a chava, who was a tamid chacham. Okay, but getting back to Tchias HaMesim, Tanya Rav Simoyo, I remember Naim L'Tchias HaMesim in HaTorah, where is there a source in Torah for Tchias HaMesim? Shenemar, Hashem said to Moshe, the Gamma Kimosius Brisi Itam, I have also upheld my covenant with them, with the others, Losis Lahemas Eretz Kanaan, to give them Eretz Kanaan. Now, Lachem Lainemar, it doesn't say to you Jewish people, Ela Lahem, to them, Mikan Tchias HaMesim in HaTorah. So here we have a source in Torah for Tchias HaMesim, namely that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are going to come alive by Tchias HaMesim, and they personally will inherit Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara continues, Tzedek Gom Geshem Kom Simen. This is a simen for five different groups of Goyim or Tzedukim or whatever, and who asked about the source of Tchias HaMesim in the Torah, and five Chachamim who answered them. The Gilser is actually supposed to be a little bit different. Tzedek Kom Geshem Gam, whatever, that works out better. The simen works out better that way. So the first one, Shalom Minim Esrem Gamliel. Now, Minim doesn't start with a tzaddik. It's supposed to be tzedukim. This is one of the things where the censors changed it. What they had against the word tzedukim, I don't know. So the tzedukim asked Esrem Gamliel the following. So there you have the tzaddik of the word tzedek and the gimel of the word geshem. The first five letters are the five groups of goyim or tzedukim or whatever. On the second five letters are the names of the chachamim who answered them. So the first one is Tzedukim. So they asked Shem Gamliel, Minayin Shakarish Baruch Hu Machayim Mason. How do we know that Hashem is going to bring alive the dead? He brought them proofs from Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim, and they wouldn't accept them. Minat Torah, the fib. Yeah, the first one was a pasuk from Chumash. Hashem says to Moshe, "You behold, you will lie with your fathers, meaning you will pass away, but come and rise up." So therefore, so that shows you're going to die and then you're going to rise up. But they said maybe that's not what the pasuk means. Because the word "v'kom" may actually refer to the second half of the pasuk, which in fact it does. V'kom amazeh, this nation will rise up and they will worship Avodah Zarah. So in other words, Rav Gamliel is telling them, Marashah explains that, listen, the word v'kom can actually go with both halves of the pasuk. Hincha shreichem ma'vesecha v'kom, and also v'kom ma'amazeh v'zana. But the tzedukim didn't want to accept that, and they said it refers only to the second half of the pasuk. Marashah goes on to explain, so what Rav Gamliel was saying, that the point is, the word v'kom, in fact, has a double meaning, because it means, in other words, when a tzaddik passes away, it's not that tzaddik hasn't lost anything, the people have lost out. So the same way, hincha shreichem ma'vesecha v'kom, you will lie down with your ancestors, meaning you'll pass away, and you will rise up, you're not losing anything about it. But v'kom ha'amazeh, that the people will rise up and worship Avodah Zarah, so the fact that they lose you is a tremendous loss for them. But the tzedukim are not accepting all of that, and they say the word v'kom just goes with the second half of the pasuk, the people will rise up and worship Avodah Zarah. So they didn't accept that proof. Next, mina neviim, they brought them a pasuk from neviim. Dichtiv, yichyu meisecha, your dead will live. Nevei losi yikumon, my corpses, my dead bodies will rise up. Hakitzu v'rananu sheich ne'afer, wake up and sing, you who are resting, who are living in the dust, you who are dwelling in the dust, the people who passed away. Ki tal odes talecha, because you do. Is a dew of light, or a different explanation of odus means, odus can also mean a type of vegetable, but in other words, it'll be a light of dew, or it'll be a dew of light, or it'll be a dew that, like the dew that refreshes the vegetables and the herbs. Va'orex, and to the earth, refoyim tapil, the earth, the fine temple, and the earth will throw out of it its dead bodies. Meaning, in other words, there'll be tchias amesim. The bodies will be taken out of the earth, and they will have tchias amesim. So you have a very clear pasuk about tchias amesim. But the tzedukim answered, the duma mesim shehechi Yechezkel, maybe that nevuah is only about the mesim that Yechezkel is going to bring alive. Yeshaya is 100 years before Yechezkel, and Yechezkel brought alive mesim, as we're going to discuss in detail, on Daf Tzedek Beis. So maybe this is a nevuah about that's going to happen. Who says that it's going to be about La'asid Lavi? Say the tzedukim. Minak Ksuvim, Rabbi Gamliel tried to bring them a proof from Ksuvim, Dichtiv, Pasuk and Shir Hashirim, Vichikech, and your palate, your taste, Kiyena Toiv, is like sweet wine, like good wine, Hoylech Ledoidi Lameshorim, that goes straight, that goes in a straight way to my beloved, to Hashem, Doiviv Sifti Yeshenim, that makes the lips of the ones who are sleeping move. So now, Yeshenim means the ones who are dead, Yeshene Ofer. So Doiviv Sifti Yeshenim, and then in the future, their lips are going to move, and they're going to come alive again, and they're going to speak. So there was a proof of Tchias Mesim. So they answered, no, V'dumi R'chushim R'achshan Sivvasiv Alma, maybe it only means their lips move in the grave, but not that they actually come alive. Ki Rabbi Yechanan, like Rabbi Yechanan says, these are Tzedukim, they're going to quote Rabbi Yechanan, but they'll do anything to get out of believing in Tchias Mesim, it seems. So Rabbi Yechanan says, V'am Rabbi Yechanan, Meshum Rabbi Shem Menei Tzadok, Kol Mi Shenemra Halacha B'Shmoy Ba'olam Hazeh, anybody who they say a halacha in his name in this world, Sif Soysev Dovi Vesma Kever, then his lips move in the grave, meaning he has a hana, even his guf has a hana. From it, so no proof from that pasuk about actual tchias amesim. Ad she'omalahem mikrozeh, until finally Rabbi Gamliel told them the following pasuk, and this they accepted. Similar to the proof that Rabbi Simoi brought before. The pasuk says in Shema, Asher nishma Hashem la'aviseichem losis lahem, that Hashem swore to your fathers to give to them. So again, lachem lo'nem, or it doesn't say that Hashem swore to give to you, Jewish people, elo lahem, but to them, to the Ovis, mikan, the tchias amesim in HaTorah. So here you have a source in the Torah for tchias amesim, that the Ovis will come alive, and Eretz Yisrael will be given to them. So that was that proof they accepted. The Yesh Omrim, some say, Min HaMikra Azeh Omolahem. Others say that Rav Gamliel told the Tzedukim a proof from the following pasuk. V'atem Advekim V'Hashem Alekechem, you who are attached to Hashem, your God, Chayim Kolchem Hayom, you're all alive today. Now, what do you mean? Pshit to the Chayim Kolchem Hayom, of course you're all alive today. Moshe is talking to people who are alive. Ella, what he means is, Afilu B'Yom Shekola Olam Kolam Nesim, even on the day, even when there's going to come the time when everybody else is going to be dead, Atem Chayim, you will live and you will have Tchias Mesim. It's in parenthesis, the Marashal takes it out of here. We just learn, we learn, Mahayom, Kulcham Kayomim, according to the Gusa that we have with the parenthesis, it means we're darshining, from the fact that it means that even when everybody else is dead, you're all gonna live. But instead, without that, it just means, Mahayom, Kulcham Kayomim, just like today, you're all living, I'm speaking to you, Af Lo'olam Haba, Kulcham Kayomim, the same way you're all gonna be living Lo'olam Haba. So therefore, so you see that there's Tchias Mesim. Okay, that was the first one. The second one, Shalom Roimiyim Esther of Yeshua ben Chananya, Minayin Shakarsh Bruchim Machayim Mesim, V'yedeya Masha Osid Liyos. They asked him two things. How do we know Hashem is Machayim Mesim, and how do we know that Hashem knows what's going to be in the future? He says from the Pasuk that we quoted before, Hin Choshech V'Avisecha, you can learn both things. Because the Pasuk says, you are going to lie with your fathers, you're going to pass away, and this people will get up and worship Avodah Zarah. So since we said that v'kom refers to the first half of the pasuk, then it means that there's going to be tchias amesim, and also it means that because Hashem is predicting that the Jewish people are going to worship Avodah Zarah, that shows that Hashem knows the future. So in short, they disbelieved in both of those things. They want a proof for both of them. And Rabbi Yeshua says, yeah, the one pasuk tells you both of those things. But they ask the Duma V'koma Omazeh V'zana. Again, maybe the V'koma Omazeh is only referring to the second half of the pasuk. So it's predicting that they're going to worship Avodah Zarah. Nothing about Tchias Mesim. Amaluhuse tells them, fine, Nekotu Miyapal Gabi Adaychu, Diyadeh Masha'os Adlis. Fine, at least from that pasuk, you can get one half of it. At least you can show from there that Hashem knows the future. Marsha explains that actually, again, given that the word v'kom could refer to the first half of the pasuk, then it means definitely you know from there Hashem knows the future. As far as tchias ameisim, fine, it's like half and half. It's like a suffix, whether you can learn it from this pasuk, but at least you have a 50-50 chance that you can learn that from this pasuk as well. Itzmar Nami, they said also, how do we know that Hashem does both of these things, that he's Machayim Mesim and that he knows what's going to happen in the future? Because again, since the word Vakom can refer to either half of the Pasuk, then therefore it means that that Hashem is, that's both. Hashem is Machayim Mesim and that Hashem knows what's going to happen in the future. Okay. So we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, with more of the challenges that various groups brought to the this idea of Tchias Meisim and the various proofs that the Chachamim told them in favor of it.
Yeshkayach.